Let us explore the Bible together on Glorious Morning Study Hour on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Yes, indeed, it is time to study together God's Word and to explore what He has in store for us. We are in lesson number 3 of Everything Made Has a Maker series. God comes into personal relationships with people is our conversation this week. And our guest, Evangelist Albert Gomez, joins us on the line. Now, we ask a question to say, have you ever felt like God is distant? Like somehow He's a cosmic force way up there in the distance, far removed from you, just watching from what seems like a safe distance for Him to not be intoxicated or tarnished by this miasma that is on this planet. Now, what if I told you that the creator of the universe, the one we spoke of in the recent weeks, the one who designed and made everything, what if I told you He isn't looking for a distant relationship, right? A distant subject who can just send tribute once in a while. No, He's looking for a best friend. He was looking for a close relationship even with you. Today we are talking about a truth that changes everything. God doesn't just want obedience. He wants your heart. He desires a personal and even intimate relationship with each and every one of us. And that's what we'll be covering in the study. Join us as we do that, as we jump into it. Text us your questions, your comments, your input, +27 7347 0 3520. Evangelist Gomez, good morning to you, sir, and welcome to our study.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. And thank you so much for having me here. And good morning to all our listeners out there.
Thank you so much. Trusting that we find you well.
Yes, yes, I am well and blessed, and I hope you're also well.
No, we're doing very okay. We are doing quite blessed indeed as well.
Thank you. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, we are looking at this idea that everything made has a maker, but more so than that, this maker, the maker of everything in the universe, wants a personal relationship with us. Maybe as we jump into this conversation, just give us a bit of a summary of what our study is entailing this week.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Thank you so much. So our study is about a God who wants to be a friend of mankind.
Okay.
And it's quite a mind-boggling topic because now we live in a world where everybody seeks for themselves. Everybody's on their own. I mean, the classes of humanity, we have the rich, the poor, the middle class. We have everyone looking after themselves. And we live in a world whereby there's constant fights. You have sibling rivalries. You have a lot of other things, family breakdowns, and everybody sees things that nobody cares. The 8.1 billion around the world, people think I am alone. I need to look after myself. Now, the whole idea of a God who must be better than our parents, better than our presidents and ministers, better than our friends who betray us all the time. And this one is genuine. He wants to be close to us, and he wants to have a genuine relationship with us is something unthinkable, but it is the case. God wants to be a friend of you and I. That's basically what we'll be looking at.
That's profound. That's profound, as you mentioned there. I mean, like, yeah, this is quite a big thing that you're mentioning right there. Thank you so much for that, Mdana. When you look at Abraham and Moses, right, most of us could hardly compare ourselves to them as much as they were human, just as we are. Is friendship with God limited to the great patriarchs, the great prophets, the grand people in Earth's history? Are they the ones who can then get elevated? I remember one of the passages says Abraham became a friend of God. Are they the ones who only can be in this kind of a relationship with Jehovah?
Very interesting topic. Very interesting question, brother.
Yeah.
So we're looking at these people, and it sounds like it's just for the elite. It's those people who are holy, who are untouchable, and us, we cannot qualify to that. But if you turn with me to the book of Exodus chapter 2, and you look at verse 12, there's just one incident that I want us to point to.
Mm-hmm.
We find here the man Moses, and what Moses does here, he finds an Egyptian wrestling with a Hebrew here, and he kills the Egyptian, and then he runs away. So you see that this is a man who is a murderer, and at that time he was a most wanted fugitive. He's running away. He is a normal human being. He was not holy at that point in time. He was just a normal man.
Yeah.
And if you go to the book of Luke chapter 19 and you're looking at verse number 5, you find Jesus Christ speaking to this short man, Zacchaeus. This is a man who makes money from taking other people's money. That's what he was doing. He was not a patriarch. He was not a prophet. He was not somebody elite. He was just a normal human being, was making his money through his own scandals. And you also find in Matthew chapter 26, and you're looking at verse 50, you find Jesus calling Judas friend. How does Jesus call Judas friend after what he has done? He had already sold him by this time. But Jesus comes to this man and he calls him friend. Where are you coming from? And you see these things happening every time, every place with Jesus. He always seeks to befriend and comes to an intimate space with the most degraded, if you may call them, in the world. And that's exactly what he does to us. There's no class of people that he deems as his friends, but anyone is welcome to that cycle. There are conditions, of course, but we are all invited to that. It's not for the prophets or the patriarchs. Even you and I today, we can also be called the friends of God.
You know, as you mentioned this idea of friendship, I'm reminded of, I think it's in John, where Christ says, I don't call you servants anymore, but friends, because servants don't know what the master is doing. But you I have revealed everything. And he's calling us into that friendship cycle. And he says, I want to let you in. I think that's quite profound. That's quite profound. What does it mean, though, to be a friend of God? What does such a friendship look like on a practical basis, on a literal basis, on a daily basis? How can we quantify that?
It's a very broad question that needs sufficient answers. So I believe we can read for ourselves so that the Bible tells us how this looks like. Turn with me to the book of John chapter 15. This is the first qualification that I see. John chapter 15, and we're looking at verse number 10. It's very, very straightforward, not complicated, this one, but I believe it is beautiful. John chapter 15, and in verse number 10, it says, now, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love.
Okay.
So we're looking at something interesting. We need to harmonize all of them and put them together to see the final answer. But Jesus, the first thing that he tells us here is you need to do what I tell you to do, and you will abide in my love, as I have kept my Father's commandments and I'm abiding in his love. Friendship involves love. I love my friends. He loves me back.
Yeah.
So for us to have that relationship with God, number one, we need to listen to what he says. That's one thing that we need to do. And if we go to John chapter 8, verse 29, same book, John chapter 8, verse 29, let's quickly go there and see what Jesus says. John chapter 8 and the verse is verse 29. And it says, and he that sent me is with me. The Father had not left me alone. And he does this as something. For I do always those things that please him.
Yeah.
Hey. So Jesus says, I do my Father's commandments. And he says also, I do always those things that please him. As friends, we share common things which please one another. That's what a friendship is built upon. We have a common mindset. We have common goals. We have common things that keep us together. We see things in a different worldview than other people see them.
Yeah.
And that's what makes us to be friends. And therefore, God says, I also have a worldview that I want you to take. I have some things that I want you to do for me. And I'm going to do the same for you also. But then that relationship needs to be kept. So there are things that we need to do. The first one, to keep the commandments of God. And then the second one, we need to do the things which please him. And what are those things? If you go with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 11, it's very popular. Hebrews chapter 11, I believe we all know it. Very straightforward, no complications there. And if you look at verse number one now gives us a definition of something that pleases God.
Okay.
It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we are told what faith is here, and we need to have this faith in Jesus Christ. In verse 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please.
Yeah.
Something very beautiful. So now we first have to keep God's commandments, to abide in his love. And then we're also told that we need to do the things that please him. And what are those things? In Hebrews, we get the answer. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And verse 6 says, without this, it is impossible to please God. So we need to have faith and always keep his commandments. And when we have faith, we need to have faith that even in keeping the commandments, he will do a good work for us, then he is a friend who seeks for the best of us. Now, keeping the commandments alone will not save us, remember.
True.
But we need to have
True.
Faith on the one who gave us the commandments. Mm. The commandments do not save anybody. So those two come together. The faith is the one that says, you know what, the one who said I must do this thing is a good friend to
yeah.
me. And he has a vision, he has a goal that he wants me to reach. And I might not see it right now at the point of time, but I have faith in him, in his character and his love. That's basically what it looks like. And you find a perfect depiction in the book of Genesis chapter 5, if you look at verse 22 and verse 24. Enoch walked with God, a daily walking with God, until God could not have him here on earth. He said, I need to take
come
my
home,
friend.
Come home, yeah.
To be here. Yes, yes. That's basically what it boils down to. If we also have the same faith and we walk with God daily, that's what it's going to do at the second coming. It's going to come back and say, no, you know what? I need to have you. I need to have you, Brother Derek. I need you to be with me where I am seated. And that's also to every listener out there. God desires that we walk with him and we become the best of friends.
We need to be the best of friends. Does this idea of becoming friends and the best of friends with God mean that we are then protected from the issues of this world, that we're no longer vulnerable to the troubles and the tribulations it brings?
Like, logically, that's what we always think.
Yes.
Right? Logically. Because, I mean, we have a protector God who's all powerfully created all these years, angels and all of that. But unfortunately, it is not the case. Eh? If you turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we are looking at verse number 12, very, very interesting verse. It tells us something. He says here, yea, and all who will live godly shall suffer persecution. It's a sad reality.
Yeah.
We will all suffer persecution. And reason is, now, if we were to look at the whole picture of life in the great controversy context, there's good and evil that's taking place. There are accusations that the devil said about God, and we need to show to the universe that these things are true or they are not. Right? And if you were to remember the life of Job, now, Job is a friend of God. In fact, I believe he is the best friend of God.
Okay.
But look at what happens to Job. The devil says, I come from the earth, from running to and fro, meaning everybody is on my side. I rule, I call the shots. Everybody is dancing on my tune. And God is now saying something. He says, hast thou considered my servant? If he was in this podcast or in this discussion right now, he would say, hast thou considered my friend, Job, I believe. And now that brings problems to Job now, eh? But there's a bigger picture in Job's life. He does not necessarily understand it at that point in time. He just thinks, I'm suffering and all of this. Why is God allowing this? Yeah. Just like we often ask ourselves, why did God allow this and this to happen? But the reason is because we are having a friend who is above us and a loving friend who is at this point, unfortunately, in a controversy. And he needs to be fully understood. You and I have the privilege of vindicating his name in the whole universe. Before angels, before fallen beings, we have that privilege to stand for him and say he is right. No matter whether I understand now or I don't, being a friend of God involves that. Mm. And I need to vindicate his name, and his character must come out as it is without being tarnished by what the devil had said, all the lies that he had said. So yes, those who live godly will suffer persecutions. We will get sick. We will have all of these things because the devil wants us to accuse our friend and say, he is evil. He is this. He is not good. He doesn't take care of his own. But that is not the case. We are friend with God, whether we understand it or we don't, whether we are suffering or we don't. God is our friend.
I think it's Matthew, I think, or is it John 16:33? You know what? In this world, we will have tribulations, but we must be of good courage because he has overcome the world.
Amen.
I want to conclude with the words of the psalmist in chapter 8, verses 3, 4, I think it is. He makes mention of how he's considering the heavens, right, and their splendor and their glory. And we were talking about that a couple of weeks back in this lesson, looking at how this is the handiwork of God and it tells of him as a creator. And he says, in records of these pieces, majestic pieces. And then I look at mankind, I'm baffled. What is man that you're mindful of him. You know, what does it mean that the Creator is mindful of each and every one of us?
It's a very deep one also. So we get to see that there's not even a single tear that can fall off our eyes and Jesus doesn't pay attention to. Never. Not even one.
Yeah.
There's not even a single heartache that happens in our hearts that Jesus is ignoring. Not even one. Our Father is mindful of all of that. God is mindful of us and each and everything that we do because he's entrusted us with the ability to end all evil by vindicating his character. There's this beautiful quotation that I love, and it says, God is waiting with longing desires to see the manifestation of his character in us. So God is waiting for us, and he is sympathizing with us all the step of the way. And there's this other quotation that I love. It's found in the book Desire of Ages, pages 224, paragraph number 5. It says, God never leads his children otherwise than they would choose to be led. If they could see the end from the beginning and discern the glory of the purpose which they are fulfilling as co-workers with him. So God will take us through places where we feel like he doesn't care. He doesn't see us. He's not mindful of us. But he sympathizes with us every step of the way. All of these places, all of that pathway is necessary for our salvation at the end. He is mindful of everything, what we eat, how many liters of water we have drank. We don't even care. We don't even pay attention at times.
Yeah.
He is mindful of all of those things. And lastly, our verse, I want us to read Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. And he's saying things. This is about to send these people to Babylon. You don't even think of it. Why would you tell me this when you're about to take me to exile?
Yeah.
Why? Why? But God says, I know the thoughts that I have towards you, and he says thoughts of peace and not of evil, and to give you an expected end. Our eyes as human beings, we are short-sighted. We just see danger and that's the end. But God sees beyond, and he's a friend who cares. He sees beyond, and he says, I know, trust me, have faith in me. It might look like all your education system is falling apart. Your marriage is falling apart. These exams are giving you problems. It might look like you're failing. You've been applying for a job for a long time and things don't work out. And you start to wonder, do I have a friend who can provide for all my needs? But God says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. And we must have faith in that and continually trust that God is our friend and he cares.
Yeah, and he cares. I think that's the caveat that is really needed right there. Well, thank you so much, my elder. We appreciate you guiding us in this lesson today. May God bless you and thank you once again.
Thank you so much, and have a lovely day, everybody.
Thank you so much. Same to you. Same to you. That's our evangelist. They're taking us through this week's lesson, evangelist Albert Gomez, who's going to be talking to us on the importance of understanding how personal God wants to make his relationship with us. As we bounce out today, here's our closing remark I want to share. Just looking and picking up from where the evangelist was wrapping up there, he says, this is a book, Desire of Ages, on page 223, it's 224, actually. It says, God never leads his children otherwise than they would choose to be led if they could see the end from the beginning and discern the glory of the purpose which they are fulfilling as co-workers with him. So yeah, you might feel like you're in a fix, but should you know the end from the beginning, that path which you're currently walking on, that path you feel like God has abandoned you in, that's the one you would also say, I think this is the one. Yeah, this is the one I actually want to be traveling. And it doesn't feel like it right now, which is why you then have to trust him who is allowing you to walk in that particular path. What a lesson. What a lesson. We want to hear from you. Of course, why don't we actually join us? Join us. We're inviting you to study with us in this lesson, The Voice of Prophecy.
Do you want to take part in a Bible study that can help you understand the Bible better? Tune in to Glorious Morning every Thursday and Friday at 7:20 a.m. and on Maranatha Drive every Monday and Tuesday at 4 p.m. for an interactive Bible study. Through these studies, you can find answers for facing the issues and challenges you deal with every day. You can also find these studies on www.voiceofprophecy.com.